So welcome, Tuesday, the 21st of February, to Live with Linda and Friends. And I want to start us with a heart hug today and send light to every cell in the body. Welcome, Anna. Hi, we're just beginning. And Victoria, hi.
Hi.
Just beginning. We're going to start with a heart hug.
Oh, that's a good start.
Good.
No better start.
Super. And I would just like us, as we smile, moving very gently this tissue, the skin under our hands, around the face of our imaginary clock. I would like us to visualize a cascade of light just activating, being activated in every cell in our body. And look to places. Let's just start imagining from our head. And I'm going to invite you to imagine on the top of your head a column of light that comes out of the universe, connecting us to all things that are good and wonderful, and holding the intention of a peaceful world inside us, where our cells communicate in an ideal way with light. And I'd like to give a shout out and give thanks to Dr. Bruce Lipton. This concept that every cell in the body communicates when we're in an ideal state. So when we're stressed or haven't taken the time to stop and breathe in through our nose and smile as we do it and really feel the breath fill your whole pelvic cradle and your ribs, and like, just imagine this beautiful light, this column of light coming into your body and joining with every cell in your body that knows its function in your body. Amazing. Those cells make up us. And let's take our hands down, down just a little lower between your breasts and down onto the belly. And let's take a little lower and do a little lift and bring Eleanor in, and just this gratitude, the way she has brought us to really appreciate this whole vagus system, this connection, all the way up from our heads down to our heart, all of the organs in there that we've just been blessed to connect with, and then this whole pelvic cradle. Just like do a little shout out of appreciation and all the amazing just so many feet of intestines, and within those intestines, a whole universe of bacteria, all kinds, that have their own agendas, their own lives within us. Amazing. And just connect with them with light. And let's imagine that any part that maybe isn't so ideal for us. Yeah, we all have the stuff, other stuff, but yeah, we'd rather just imagine transmuting anything that doesn't serve our bodies well, transmute it into light, and release that light into the universe to transmute. Let's take our arms out to the side and do a gentle like sweep downward and just send our thoughts and our energies way down into the crystal core of the Mother Earth and bring that crystal intelligence and connection and communication up through the earth. Imagine it just coming up into our feet, right up into our center, all the way up through all of our center, all of our chakras. And again, like, wow, meet it with the light, this column of light coming from the heavens and connecting us to this beam of light. And send gratitude, each one of you, to somebody in your life, or somebody's animals, people, who have brought light to your life, supported you in some way. Just send them love and gratitude. So let's open our eyes, and I would welcome Megan, and I would like to know if just anyone has anything that they would like to share from this week. Ava, Becky, hi. Wonderful to see you. Something that is going on in your life that you would like to share with us so that we can support you. Rasia, hi. Beautiful. Dorothy.
Hello. This week I was trying some heart hugs and tea touch for my friends. I have several friends who are going through quite difficult physical medical problems right now. And I used my bear as a who sits by my computer as a surrogate. And it felt really good to do this. And then I was doing the heart hug, and I thought, how am I going to do the heart hug? So I have invented the bear heart hug. So I put the bear in front when it's the person, and I do the heart hug. So we do it together. And so I wanted to share that's really, I felt a useful way of connecting, and it was fun. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yes. And this is what Anna Wise calls it's a combination of sensation and visualizing. And I've tried it over and over to remember it exactly. I'll be sharing this with you. Actually, I'll share some of this next week, but we're bringing into the book that I'm working to bring out on Tea Touch after all these years.
I just also wanted to add that I've appreciated the concept of looking at myself and others as what's right, what's working in the body, not concentrating on what isn't. And it's really helping with my understanding of my husband, to see him as this beautiful soul who's got so much going for him, and not seeing where the problems he has. And I'm that's being much more supportive for him. And we've ended up doing a daily walk together. And there's a park down, it's an old estate, which has all these blossoms that are coming out and such. So we do that every day. And I just feel a lot more connection. And I really thank you for connecting me to that way of looking at life, really. So I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for sharing that. And it's something that's really come up in two ways for me in the last days. A friend of mine is dealing with a situation where her husband is just turned 70, is diagnosed with frontal lobe dementia. And it's something that normally hits people very young, like 50 at the latest. And they're finding out now that he's been making really serious financial mistakes like many years ago, and they're just finding them. Mm-hmm. And this is what we talked about last night. I had a long talk with her. Like, it's so hard when he gets in that aggressive mood and that love isn't there, but practicing seeing him in who he is, to see who he is at the heart of that and not his behavior. So the other thing I wanted to share with you about that is the effects of oxytocin. And I'm in communication with a friend right now who in Germany, her husband died in her arms totally unexpectedly last year. And she is devastated. She's down to 45 kilos, hasn't been able to sleep. And she just wrote to me. She actually showed up on one of my Saturday horse Zooms. And she's like in this state of total grief. And what it brought up for me to share with all of you is that a book for anyone you know who's dealing with extreme grief that they can't get over. It's a book called Oxytocin by Kenneth Stoller, S-T-O-L-L-E-R. And I've shared this with a number of people over the years because he's an MD who lost his son in a car accident, his 16-year-old son, and he was completely stopped by it, devastated, couldn't work, could not get himself together. And he finally discovered oxytocin, the part, the kind that you can actually take a liquid that has oxytocin in it. And what I wanted to say to that, and actually I'm going to meet her at Equitana in 2 weeks and show her the heart hug, because we know from this 2000 person study that's in my sister Robin's book, written by Robin Bernhardt and Sandy Rakowitz, this concept of this 2000 person study from the American Massage Association, actually paid for by government funds, showing that light contact with the skin produced the most oxytocin. They were hoping to prove that deep tissue work would activate the most oxytocin, but what they discovered, yes, it activates some, but way more cortisol than oxytocin. And it was the light contact with the skin that activated the most oxytocin. So anybody dealing with grief, it's like, you know, I'm suggesting sometimes not even putting one hand over the other, because if you're nervous or if you're stressed, you may be putting too much pressure. And they're exploring. We did it last week a little bit, remember? This concept of like 1 1/4 circles. And I'm putting both hands on. And let's just try this. I want you to see how this feels. Huh? So I only tried this a couple of weeks ago to see how lightly could I do this. So I imagine a tiny clock here and looking at it from the outside. And I'm going to start with my fingers dancing together. And I'm doing a little tiny curve from my 6 o'clock, yeah, like a tiny movement up to my imaginary 9, up to 12, 3, 6, 9. Deep breath into the nose and then gently out through pursed lips as I go back to the 6. Now, one reason for going back to the 6 is I believe it can have a grounding effect. When we stay 1 1/4 and we stay at the 9, man, we're staying, it's like a pregnant moment. We're really in that state of what's next? What's the connection here? And when I do that, what we call a circle 1 1/4 with a snail's tail, 1 1/4, deep breath into the nose and back, this tiny little arc back to the 6. It's like bringing us into the body. And I discovered that little extra thing, movement back years ago when I got bucked off a 16-2-hand black thoroughbred stallion and cracked a rib. And I found I could, if I did that quarter back, it really helped it more than anything that I could, like the basic 1 1/4. So I want us to think, and again, I want to give this like thanks to the concept that Bruce Lipton dubbed this, you know, the oxytocin release is known to be mother's habit toward children. It's now been research showing if you hold a puppy, oxytocin is released. Actually, that is a really good idea, isn't it, for my friend who is out of her body with grief. So it's interesting if she could get not just the stuffed bear, but in her state, get a puppy or a kitten. Oh my goodness. I mean, a kitten does the same thing. How about for all of you? It's like, for me, it's incredible. So these are ways of activating that trust hormone, the oxytocin, and bringing us back into our bodies. So I would like to know, first of all, if anyone has anything to add to that or to say from your experience. And Eva, are you thinking, was that
us? Yes. Yes. I want to share with you and get more ideas. Yes. I already shared with Teresa. I have a dear friend, and she went to see her neurologist who has diagnosed her as Alzheimer's, telling her straight like this, you know, with no, you have Alzheimer's, and wrote down all kinds of things, you know. And my friend is a therapist, and she's a healer through energy and does Reiki and all kinds of things. And so she trusts me enough so that I can touch her. And she has studied the cranial therapy also, and she wants me to do it. So we came to a point because the very soft thing, she cannot handle that. She doesn't really go along with all that. But she just wants me to work on her head and really strong. I mean, so, because I did what you said, I asked her, you know, but so, so strong that, I mean, being a Feldenkrais practitioner, I had to say sorry to Moshe up there because it was like, ooh, but that's what she wanted. And that's how we get a common ground for understanding, because I told her, I'll do whatever you want and nothing more. And that's how little by little she trusts me, and I moved on. But the idea is, yeah, I can see that she's declining in her thinking. Also, her hearing is declining. So I convinced her to go get a hearing aid, and I will go with her, because that also you know, I could see how her world is getting a lot more, and she doesn't want to walk. So it's all this, and I don't know, you know, if anyone has accompanied someone, a dear one, and that you can see declining,
So I want to tell you that, you know, my husband Roland was, for 10 years, he was the director of the Alzheimer's Caregiver Association of Hawaii, continues to do all the research, because he has three legs of his family who have Alzheimer's, and he looked after his dad for those 10 years at home with Alzheimer's. And the thing that can make, there are many things that can make a difference, such as music that they like when his father would hear music that was his music from childhood, it calmed him, it made a difference. And I would also say, like your concept of getting hearing aids for her can really apparently help, because when the outside world is like reduced, your connection, because hearing, digs you deeper. And what I have to tell you, and I need to dig these up, and Marnie, when we hang up, I'm going to ask you to stay on with me, and I'm actually, maybe I can find it in our 10-minute break. We have a Feldenkrais practitioner in Switzerland. This was Marie-Jean, Teresa, who was working with a client, who the mother of one of her friends who had Alzheimer's, and she couldn't do Feldenkrais on her, but she could do T-Touch, and it made a considerable difference. And what we found is, if, you know, apparently she can't feel herself. So one of the things, there's several things that I would suggest you do. First of all, when you look at her, just what Dorothy said, we see the soul that's there, and that deterioration that can happen when you start to get brain changes can really make it, you know, help us, I mean, make it difficult to see the person. But if you can, every time you see her or touch her, or just now, we'll bring her into our circle and just hold her with us. And if you can, this is the question, maybe you can, with these like deep connections, see if you can do some hair slides and pulls, because what we discovered, I mean, I heard like years, it's been in the 80s when I was doing a weekend of T-Touch for Humans. I had a cranial sacral therapist in my class, and she said that when we did the circles and the slides and the hold upward, that we're actually going deeper than the cranial sacral. You go through the dura. And so if you can, you know, do and find out how much pull does she like you, but, and you can't pull like away from the skull. You want to get right, try it right now, catch the skull. So you're actually moving the skull with your fingers, and then take the slides and do a slide, and then, and go 90 degrees from wherever you are, and ask her how that is, actually. Yes. And remember, and I'm so remiss, God, I know that it exists, and I saw it once and I haven't tried to find it again, that there is a recognition that the parts of the head have connections to all parts of the body, just like our hands and feet do. And so when you, like, instead of pressing down, that, and you go in with the bare touch and go straight in right with it, the nails and press and release. And breathe out. And imagine light. Oops, I pressed too hard on my head here. So, and get her to breathe in through the nose, because when we're mouth breathing, we're not getting the nitric oxide. If you remember what we talked about in one of the Sundays, that nitric oxide is activated from the nose, you know, like breath in through the nose. And now let's do the laser T-touch. So I'm going straight in with tiger touch with the nails. And only to the comfort, what's your comfort zone? If you have long nails, it might not be much. Roland loves it when I go straight in like that and then release. Now, do it a couple of times with pressure. And then let's try something. Just rest your nails. And that means straight up. I should maybe put it in speaker view, like a 90 degree angle. If you don't have nails, you're going to have to do the hair slides because you won't feel it without nails. Spread the fingers so it's a tiger touch. And I'm going to do a circle in the quarter, do a little lift, and then, and I'm not pressing hard. I'm just sending light, like a laser light from my fingertips. And I'm visualizing cell to cell, wherever that has to go. And just with that, it's like I'm just visualizing the light going cell to cell. I'm seeing that in my mind's eye. And I don't know where it's supposed to go. So you just allow the light to go wherever it is that could possibly be helpful. Now, also, you all think about this, that when we do that, we're affecting somewhere else on the body. Kirsten, are you with us? If you can hear me.
Yes. Yes.
Could you see if you can do a Google search and find any chart of the head that connects to the rest of the body? I mean, I found it in South Africa and I was shocked. It was a Thai woman who did this thing on my head. And she's the one who said, I can affect your whole body with that. And I had never heard anything other than the hands and the feet. So let's see if you can find it. Now, let's try now, however works for you. Like for some people, if you take your fingers and slide, close your fingers on your hair, and then and do a hold and a little stretch, only what's comfortable, and then ease it back down. And then like go to another spot. I've got my fingers, this is just one possibility. There are lots of possibilities for doing this. And I take it to the sides. Now it's interesting, my head is saying, please go to the back. Now I've never done this on the back. I can only do one hand because it's not so easy with me for both hands. Interesting. Now, however it works for you, I'm finding I'm running my fingers through and I'm actually clutching the hair. Now I'm going to very gently move my head myself. I'm moving it with my hand. And I don't know about the rest of you, but my neck is going crunch, crunch. Just very tiny movements. I'm not sure how that will be when you're not sitting up, but play with it and see what happens. I had the great honor of having Moshe twiddle my head, as he used to say. And I can just move gently. Just play it. Now my head wants up here more.
Linda, I cannot find a good one. I cannot find one, actually.
It has to be part of Eastern medicine.
That's what I thought, but...
Nothing.
Okay.
Now I'm gently, I'm really solidly, like, holding my head by the hair against the scalp. So it's not just by the hair, it's really, I've got my scalp. Ah, this is very interesting. So,
okay, I found one which is okay. It's not great. If you want me to put it, it's just not. Sorry?
Let's take a look at it. Anything that recognizes a connection to part of your head and your
body. They're overlaid though, and I cannot get both of them. It's just like a picture, basically. Haven't found anything better yet.
And it's not much on the skull, is it?
Excuse me?
Not much on the skull itself, on the head, the top.
No,
of the head.
Not a lot. There's a little bit.
Which is quite interesting, actually, because with this movement we do with the face refresher, you're running along all those points. Look along the jawline. Can you see my cursor moving?
No, you can't, Linda.
Shoot.
I'm sharing the picture.
Oh.
You can't. Right.
Can you run a cursor along that jawline? And can you read off the connection to it?
From the back, thigh, knee. God, I can't read that either. Something, patella, leg, and foot. So it's basically from high to low to the foot. Foot is going towards the chin.
Interesting. Okay, so thank you. The big thing, Eva, is the gift of you being with her and recognizing this and knowing that from the lightest 1 1/4 touches, does she understand enough still that if you talk about just giving her a feeling of the rest of her body that is functioning?
She has a lot of knowledge, and she comes from the Reiki and the belief that if it works when it hurts, when she can feel the pain, she's telling me, here, you got the point, and go for it. And so it's a bit of a contradiction, you know?
Yeah.
And when I go soft with the T-touch, it's not, she's not receiving it, but she likes the ear. The ear touch I've done, and both of them, she said, you have to do both because that's how the energy is flowing. So right. It's like, well, it's always like a compromise. And
so it's what she believes. You know, you can give her what she wants, but at the same time, When she says go deeper, if you go deeper with the tiger touch instead of prepping and go and just visualize like straight in. And this is how tiger touch came to birth. I was at Esalen Institute doing a weekend workshop, and a guy named Lou was the head of the massage school at Esalen, said, Linda, I hear you're doing something different from Feldenkrais. Will you show me? So I did three clouded leopard touches like on his shoulder with a 4T touch, and I could see he couldn't even feel me. So I went, boom. Spread nails apart, went like properly with an 8 T touch. And he's, oh my God, that's incredible. Because he could feel it. And that's how tiger touch was born.
Okay. Yeah.
And with a person who is a bodybuilder or it believes that you can't feel your body otherwise, this is where I think we have to meet them where they're at.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Be careful that you see, if you use a clouded leopard touch, which just means like the 2/3 of the pads, and you press hard, that's not good for your joints.
Yeah, I know.
And that's why
when I went out, I couldn't feel.
Don't do it. Okay, so you go in with
the knuckles.
No, it's not the knuckle. It looks like the knuckle. But the knuckle is, I'm going to go back here. This is where we have some of these different T-touches. Kirsten, could you bring up the circular T-touches? So we're going to use, and I've used this on people who couldn't feel anything to protect their hands. Okay, it's called the rhino T-touch. And it's actually with the nail. But so I go in and I buffer, like if I go straight in with the nail, this is not good for my thumb joint. You can really hurt yourself. So you brace your thumb against this folded finger. Oh God, I wish I could do this better. There, so it's my thumb, but I have the support. My thumb has the support of this folded forefinger, and look, I'm really careful that this joint is not flexed. You have to strengthen.
Yeah.
And so it's, and you can go in like, and I send my energy in with it. It's not just like, it's not just a physical T touch. It's like a laser. So that's another
T-touch. Yeah.
And so all of you, please be careful when you, like, I'm going to give you another example. I did a couples workshop a number of years ago at a ranch in Wyoming. We had a guy who came who was a construction worker with his wife, really nice guy. And he had, my gosh, I mean, his hands were, you know, had just really been used. And his wife had Bell's palsy, and she couldn't stand more than a 1 T touch anywhere on the body. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't feel anything less than a 10. I mean, that's where massage therapists start using their elbows, because they'll hurt themselves otherwise, right?
Yeah.
So what I had her do, let me just think, which T touch was she able to use? You can't use your fingers. You'll hurt your joints. I'm trying to think how she was able to do it. Now we had to do this. I had to put the thumb on, and then it's like, come, it's, try this. You can see. So I'm actually using the knuckle, but I'm supporting with the thumb so that it's not just one joint. It's a teamwork. So play around with her and look at the different ways. What part of your hand can you use to keep your joints? Be very careful not to flex them.
Okay.
Because you will have big injury otherwise.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay, that really helps. I have lots of ideas now.
And play around, like ask her, can we try something so I can use a different part of my hand than you and see what you can feel and play with it.
Yeah.
Now, all of you, please be careful. If you have any like arthritis in your joints, don't use the higher pressure. It's not good for you. So, is that helpful?
Oh, very much. Very much. Very much.
Use this opportunity for exploration between you.
Yeah, because I also have her teach me, because she knows all the points and everything. Right. So it gets her also to, you know, to feel good. And she's teaching me, so I'm learning a lot with her, really a lot.
Perfect.
Really a lot.
Thank you. So we really look forward to a report next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Who else has something to share? Marnie.
Well, I had, when you were doing the scalp and you were holding it, I just did it again. I can't believe it. And you were talking about connections elsewhere in the body, but it made my toes curl on my surgery leg. And I'm like, and I've had things happen like that before, like working on my hands or something, but I was kind of shocked. And I thought, oh, I made that up. Well, not, you know, you think, and anyway, it's true. I just did it when I was saying it just now. I just did it and they curled. So obviously that connection is sort of working, I guess.
Fantastic. So who's coming in on the phone? Area code 151. Who's there? Can you speak? Might not have a recording. No, we can't tell. Let's see. Maybe you could write in the chat who you are, please. Okay. So let's see. Oh, Megan, is it you?
That's an Austin number, 512.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So maybe Becky got off for a little bit, or I'm trying to think who else.
Well, she was here a moment ago and she's not now. So maybe that's what happened.
Maybe she had to switch to the phone. Yeah.
Okay. Karen.
I'm glad that you mentioned the feet. I'm just having I'll work with the pulling the hair and doing the T-touch, the slide, because I'm just having terrible time with my feet. And including a hammer toe, and and I'm also wondering what I could do with T-touch, and then if anybody has any recommendation for shoes that are wide in the toe and narrow back in the heel, that would be really helpful.
Well, I was just introduced to a pair of shoes that I never in my life thought I would wear, but Sage came and spent a week with me. And I love them. I am so excited. I'm waiting for one pair to. And the thing is that they give you, they're really wide in the front, and and they're really comfortable. It's called a barefoot shoe, but it's not really barefoot. I guess because you can feel the ground with it, but. Mm-hmm. I found them on Amazon, and it's called a barefoot shoe. And I'm really excited to try them on because my feet are very wide from, you know, going barefoot in Hawaii for all those years. We never wore shoes in the house. And so you might try that.
Yeah, and I think Teresa one time had mentioned some shoes. I don't know.
Yes, I do have some orthopedic shoes, and These shoes are, I have one too. You know, when you have the valgus problem on your feet, so they are just without any how do you say it? They're really very soft, large, and hold behind. I think if you go and look about orthopedic and even nice, you know, usually these shoes looks a little bit not so nice. You would like to be a little bit more fancy. So they really do a great job, and I can walk with them also longer because I have neurological issues with my feet, and it does really help. But I think
they're just called orthopedic shoes, or
you know, I'm in Switzerland, and I don't know exactly how it looks like in the US or wherever. And I would say if you look on Google and ask for comfortable shoes, if you don't have the deformation of the foot, but just comfortable, good shoes, and to hold it well, to hold it, I'm sure you will find something. I can go and take it and show it to you, so you have an idea. If you wait a minute,
that'll be great. Great. So while we're getting them, Megan, go, girl.
Hi, here I am. I just wanted to share with the group, and I can, you know, talk mostly that last Valentine's Day I had a small stroke. It's called a TTA, you know, it's anyway, I was in the hospital for, you know, two nights, and I came home last Friday, and I'm going to work with a speech therapist soon. You know, they're booked, boy, it's hard to get one, but meanwhile, I'm playing Scrabble, Words with Friends, which I do anyway, and of course I'm not very good at it now. I can read okay, but I can't text, and doing stuff with words like, you know, in Scrabble, that kind of thing, it's like I can't make the words. So I'm just reaching out to everybody, so because you're like family, right? Just so that you know, and if anybody has any suggestions, that I was thinking that the cranial sacral might be a good thing to look into. Absolutely. I don't know. Yeah, don't you think? Yeah.
No question.
I think they have therapists in Sedona that do cranial.
Yeah, I'm sure. You just go, you know, you can put it in
Google.
Look
it, yeah, I will. Yeah. I think I've already looked at it because I would love to get that therapy anyway. I love it. But anyhow, so I'm okay. It's just really frustrating with the words. And everything else works. My arms, my legs, etc. It's just this scary thing. But it was because I was stupid and didn't take my Eliquis regularly. And I have AFib. And so if you don't take your Eliquis, you can suffer a stroke.
So that's pretty interesting, isn't it? That, yeah. And one of the things that I want to remind us all is this is where practicing the glass that seems to be half empty as half full. And somebody said to me, I can't remember who it was so incredible. Maybe it was one of you. I was on some call, and they said the person.
It was Sunday. It was Sunday.
And what did she said? We've got to remember who that is. I know her really well, and it's not coming. But what she said, yes, you can see the glass half full, and you can do things to fill it. And that, and for me, to fill it is the gratitude. You can say, oh, poor Megan. No, phooey, poor Megan. Phenomenal, Megan. Look at, now you have the warning, my dear.
Yeah, I know why it happened. It's not a mystery because I fucked up, but I won't do that again ever, you know. So, and, you know, of course, so much to be grateful for. Yeah.
Well, and the fact that you had a friend right there, the people came the
right away. Yeah, in the bar, yes. Yep. Yeah. And Rick and Nancy were there. And they, So
let's count the blessings.
Yes, I agree. Yes, I do. Okay. I am. Yep. Okay. And, but anyway, I just wanted you guys to know that. Okay. Thanks.
And I just wanted to say in the chat, Razia made the statement that buy the shoes a size larger. And Diane talked about these barefoot shoes. I'd like to hear from you all. And that's what I did. I bought them a size larger also. Let's see, turn it sideways. Teresa, that's a nice looking.
Wait. I'm going to pin her.
Yeah.
I can't.
You can all go and pin her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can you see it?
Yes, so, I can.
One thing for me, which works for me, the shoe has to be very light because I do have a lot of issues on top of the foot and underneath because it's all also due to the neurologic problem. So this is a flying shoe. It looks not so bad, doesn't it?
No, it's called...
And it's just to open, you know, and there's nothing... on this part,
what's the name of it?
The name is German Ströber. I'm going to write it in the chat. Ströber. Okay. And I got that from the orthopedic shoe shop.
Wow.
And really, you could dance with them because they are so light. And I do really have big issues. And I sometimes have to change the shoes when I'm walking because it starts to hurt. And with those, and I do walk about 8 kilometers per day with my dog. It's the best therapy for me because when I am sitting, even now, when I stand up, my feet and everything are asking, you know, it's like an engine, a turbo. It takes a moment until I can walk. I'm fine. And I would say with the glass half full, I think it is really fantastic to add all the time. When you see the glass half full, you can make it full on top. And mm-hmm. and then if it's top, you take a bigger glass. So you are always going, having more and more and more.
So we're getting some really suggestions in the chat. Anka, welcome. Hi, and thanks for that. So these are my favorite shoes. Anka wrote something. And what makes them your favorite shoes?
They are made in Germany, and they are with leather, real leather. And they are really light, and I also have them a size bigger because I like to have two pair of socks in it in the winter. And they make them new, so I have them for some years, and then the sole got bad, and I could send them, and they how do you say that? They
make them. Yeah, give them a new sole.
That's the one that's listed in the chat. That's my favorite shoes.
Yeah. But I'm looking for English page. They are made in Germany, and it's from the material. It's the best I saw from leather, and I really like to use them, and they are cheaper than some of the, I call them always plastic, you know, if they're natural stuff. So, yeah.
So Harriet wrote in that it's www.lem, like Mary, S-S. No, lemsshoes.com, lightweight wide shoe.
No, I need narrow.
Oh, you need narrow. Yeah. Oh, well, the barefoot won't work then. Well, when you say, I don't know, Diane, you've had experience with the barefoot shoes?
They're narrow in the back, wide in the front.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, with your toe might be helpful.
I wrote about the yoga toes and not actually a shoe. The yoga toes help to relieve tension in the ligaments, the outlying skin and tissue around the foot. And so it actually helps to allow the foot to release more so that then a shoe or the ground or sand can support that foot more completely. But it's a release, it's actually helping the foot to become a better base of support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's see what you can come up with. I would like you to know what's going on with me. Next Tuesday, when I'm supposed to start with you at 2, but I have an appointment with a new ears, nose, and throat doctor because I'm having difficulty with my ears and with, I don't know if vertigo is the right thing. I feel often like I'm walking through a fog and I have to walk with my feet wider apart just to make sure of my balance. And so I went in to a wonderful new doctor who does ozone, and I did the body bag ozone, which is my first time for that. And it was very helpful for my level of energy. And I tried to do the ears because when you put ozone in your ears, it could be an amazing experience, but unfortunately I could only have it for like maybe 3 seconds, and the pain was so intense that I had to stop it. And then we realized I've got something going on in my ears still. I thought it was over because I can put my head underwater, which I couldn't do a few years ago. It was impossible to snorkel anymore. And now I can. So let's see what happens. And so Sage is going to be with you for the first hour, and then I'm hopefully going to jump in on my phone. And what I would like to do, I want to share with you something that when we have so many things going on in our lives, there's a level of belief that we disconnect from our souls. And so I'm taking a soul retrieval online course right now, and I want to share with you some of the basic concepts about it, because I did a week of soul retrieval years ago in Australia, and then another one in Hawaii in 97, when we actually, it was the Robert Monroe type of soul retrieval, where you help souls who didn't want to leave the body and are not accepting that they're actually gone from the physical body, and you help to go to what Robert Monroe calls the park, which is like the gateway to heaven. And so this is a different take on it, and how I found it just so interesting to learn what others feel about this, because for me, when we have trauma, we see it really clearly in our animals, but I think we do the same thing, and that is we other our body. And when we're othering our body, I mean, we're certainly othering our soul, which is contained in this beautiful body that we have. And yet, if it hurts us, or we don't like parts, or you know, you wished you were, we all wish, or many people wish they were some other way, that's like not accepting it and othering it. And it's really interesting, because I wanted to, you know, I just lost 13 pounds in 1 month, and I was really happy the way I was. Fuller, bigger. Come on, I'm 85. But then I have this problem that I'm doing Equitana again, and I couldn't fit into my clothes. Plus, I have to be pretty limber to do what I do, riding horses I don't know and having like 3 minutes to get acquainted with them before you get on them. And so I decided to do this, a type of weight loss that has been, I've done a lot of them over the years because I have a tendency, you know, to forget and eat ice cream in between. And that puts things on my hips that don't help me when I want to get on a horse. And so I've never had so much fun doing, you know, changing my metabolism and way of eating. And it's really worked. But I was talking about it because I think at a certain point, we, at least I feel that I was really accepting my body. And when it's like, okay, those fat pouches aren't just my, it's not my soul, right? So how do we, like, how do we accept ourselves the way we are and love ourselves no matter what? And that's, Eva, of course, what you have the opportunity with your friend to do as she leaves her soul, begins to leave the body. And I think that it would be, didn't I recommend to you that you read Jane Roberts' The Education of Oversoul 7? Eva, did I? Was it you? Because I think it is, anybody dealing with Alzheimer's, I think it's really worth reading that book. And it's a beautiful channeled book of how, of this being in four different lifetimes. Marnie, you're here. Do you remember me recommending that to Eva, or was it in the Sunday class?
Yes, you did talk about it.
Here.
I think it was Sunday.
It's so hard keeping track of these. So Eva,
I remember you mentioning it, and I haven't been in Sunday classes.
It was here.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
Thank you, Marnie.
Great. Oh, you know what? Marnie is talking about Crocs. You know, I was thinking of that too. Have you ever tried Crocs, Karen? I mean, some people don't want to wear them outside the house, but you know, yes, they're plastic and they're miracles for just movement. And I can't imagine. I mean, I've tried other shoes and they're nothing like my Crocs, which I have on right now. Anybody else
know? What are they? What were the names? I had to take a call.
C-R-O-C-S, Crocs.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have that written down.
Have you tried them?
No, I haven't. But I definitely will.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't necessarily want to go out with them if you liked nice looking shoes.
Right.
The sandals are great, and the other shoes that Roland wears are funny looking.
Yeah.
A lot, you know, they're often worn in hospitals by nurses who have to walk.
Yeah, I've seen that. Good. Thank you.
Something to try. Okay. So I'm going to, we're going to take a 10-minute break. And when we come back, is there anyone who still has something to share before I start on the next part? Because what I'm going to do is pull that video up that I made working with Sarah and going to some other tea touches on her to share. So it's 7 minutes after here, and we'll start in 10 minutes. Oh, it's eight. It's eight after in 10 minutes at 18 after. Okay, till then, I will stop the recording.